Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant. Thank you, Dan Hirsch, for bringing us in. Dan will be back with us soon. He's out making a living doing movie trailers and commercials for major corporations, but he loves working with us. That we're his favorite job.
Hey, listen.
And we love Dan, but he'll
his
be
his voice. I mean, when the Lord gives you a voice like that,
I know.
I mean, you've got to steward it.
I know. It's amazing. Now, I'm here with Mark Halleck.
Hey.
Glad to have you with me, Mark, and Kyle Bierman's running our board. We're together physically sitting around a table in Linwood, Kansas, at Linwood Baptist Church is where we're doing these. Today, we're going to talk, again, from our good friend Tom Rainer, right? Four ways, as a pastor, you might be the hindrance to revitalization. Mm. Mark, I have had pastors come to me, especially older pastors who have been in a church for 20 or 30 years. The church has declined from maybe 150 to 30. And they say to me, I don't know if I'm the only thing keeping this church open.
Mm.
If I were to leave, would these people just go away and the church close? Or am I the thing causing the church to decline?
Wow.
And they really don't know the answer to that. And, yeah, of course, I can't give them the answer at that point either, but it is an obvious question. So here are four ways pastors might hinder revitalization. Wow. Number one, what's it say, Mark?
Okay, it says they spend too much time trying to placate nagging critics. And he goes on and says, listen, ministry is totally draining if it's spent, and we know this, trying to appease the constant naysayers, right? But the tendency of many pastors is to spend an inordinate amount of time dealing with these critics, and such time is thus taken away from leading the church forward positively in a new direction.
I know. Focusing too much, there are always going to be critics, and if you just focus too much on that, and you're always caught up in that, you're always caught up in arguing with them, you're always getting your feelings hurt, you seem very thin-skinned, because the more you do in revitalization, the more critics you're going to have. And sometimes pastors just cannot get past the fact that they don't want to have any. We all want people to love us. Yep, we all want people to like us.
Yep.
But if we're really going to be leading a church, there are going to be times that people are not going to be happy with us.
Dude, and it's hard though, isn't it? I mean, I would say, as I think about this, this has probably been, if there's a kryptonite that I've experienced in ministry, it is nagging critics.
It is.
Just sucks the life out
but
of me,
man. Here's a reality that we've talked about many times, and you need to hear it again. When you begin to make decisions in your church based on people not leaving your church,
mm-hmm,
in other words, if pastor, we're upset, we're mad, if you don't do this, we're going to leave, or if you do this, we're going to leave, and yet you believe it's what the Lord wants you to do, and even the church leadership believe it's, if you do that, you give up leadership. Never make a decision based on critics or trying to keep people in your church, because as soon as you do that,
man,
you've
true.
Lost your leadership.
That's so true.
Number two.
Number two is they fail to be an example of an outward focus. This is huge. This is huge. One pastor shared, this is what he says, one pastor shared the issue succinctly. When I was not personally outward focused and evangelistic, that's what we're talking about,
right,
caring about the community,
right,
reaching the lost,
right,
my church was not either.
I know.
That's just the truth, man. We've got to lead the way in reaching the lost, in reaching this community. We talk about that even yesterday when we were at Warnell.
Yeah. When I back to Warnell Road Baptist Church. And you, by the way, we'll put it again in the show notes. Not like you don't know where it is, but the book Reclaiming Glory really tells that story of Warnell Road in Kansas City where I was for 10 years. And, you know, when, again, going first there, you know, 18, 20 people there in a big, huge sanctuary. And, you know, just being a church planner, just trying to attract people, get people to come, change the logo, change the music, get people to, and none of it worked. But when, through a variety of ways, when the Lord really laid it on my heart to be the missionary in town, and I had a full-time secular job, but to be the missionary in that neighborhood. And the first place that needed a missionary was the most troubled high school in Kansas City, which was down the street from us. So I became the missionary in that high school. I became the chaplain for the football team and the basketball team. And again, it was the most troubled high school, unbelievably troubled. But I began to do that. And as I began to serve those kids and serve the school, literally by myself initially, because we didn't have anybody in our church, a few of the other members began to want to come along and help me. And then some people from the community who weren't even Christians wanted to become involved and help serve that school. And it was through an outward focus that things began to change. But here's the deal, Mark. If I had waited for somebody else to do it, it would never have happened.
Yeah.
And that's when things begin to turn around at Warnell. And again, it was really, I had to take the lead in that.
How did your people change as you began to lead in that outward focused way? What happened to the people? Because they obviously began to catch the vision.
They did. And they began to see my passion for it and my commitment to those kids and my love for those kids and those kids' love for us and for me. And they again, knowing that I had a 40-hour-a-week job and was trying to pastor this church and grow this church, but I still tried to find time to care for these kids and be serving in the neighborhood and serving with the kids. It all of a sudden they realized, and this is really important, maybe the reason we're here as Warnell is not to get back to what we used to be, a big, influential church with lots of people, but maybe we're just here to minister to the people in this neighborhood.
Wow.
And so it gave us a purpose could do.
That's right. We could actually do it.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We don't need 150 people.
Totally.
We can do that. And so it gave us an outward focus that really changed the whole
thing. I love that, man. That's so good. That's so good. So let's just review. So four ways pastors might hinder revitalization. Number one, they spend too much time trying to placate nagging critics. Number two, they fail to be an example of an outward focus.
They've got to do it. You know, I will say this too. One day I had a director of missions call me and he said, man, there's this church that it used to be 400 and now it's 40. I know I say that all the time, but dude, they're all over the place.
Everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And he said, it's right in the heart of the city. Pastor's been there 20 years. He's a wonderful man and a great preacher, but he's really struggling. He would like to see you. And I said, all right. So across the street from the church were two halfway houses for drug addicts and criminals who were in halfway houses. So I go to the church, and of course, the door's locked. I guess, you know, I kind of understand that. It's a big metal door. So I have to buzz this thing, and I get a secretary's voice, you know, can I help you? Yeah, I'm Mark. I'm here to see your pastor. Okay, I'll let you in. They unlock that door. I go in, and then you go, there's another door. You got to buzz again. Like, what, Fort Knox? I mean, what's the deal here? So I buzz again, and you go in, right? And then I walk in, and she says, oh, he's waiting for you. So I go in his office. It's a beautiful office, really beautiful. Got lots of books in it, and he's got a great desk, and he's sitting there, and he's discouraged. And so we talk about it, and he talks about how the church has declined and declined and declined. And so I talk to him about the neighborhood. Well, it's not responsive. You know, we just got some drug addicts and transient people that live here, and we do give food away every week. We give clothes away every week. And it was like, I just wanted to say, dude, what are you doing behind two locked doors in this office?
Dude, totally, totally.
What is that about?
Yeah.
got lost people across the street. You got drug addicts across
the street.
That's exactly
right.
What are you doing here? And the reality was that he absolutely, simply did not have any concept of what it meant to literally be a missionary in that community.
Yeah.
It was something completely foreign to him.
Wow.
And he just... he failed to be an outward example. Mm. I'm thinking, dude, if you're going to spend your day behind two locked doors and in your office, the people aren't going to do anything either.
They're not going to. Yeah, that's they're not going to be.
And I'm not picking on him. Yeah. It's just like
it's just reality.
It's the reality.
It's just reality.
Okay.
You can't give what you don't have.
Right.
Number three, they do not emphasize. This is, again, why pastors might hinder revitalization. They do not emphasize member expectations. So in other words, at an entry level or membership class, making it clear, and if they're, first you've got to have a vision for members, what do we actually expect of members, but then communicating that, and I would say communicating that in a winsome, exciting, man, you want to be, here's why you want to be a member of this church.
Right.
Man, this is what God is doing.
Exactly.
This is where we're headed.
Exactly.
And you got to, listen, if you're not pumped about it, your people aren't going to be pumped about it.
Exactly.
New people aren't going to be excited about it. So you need clarity, and then you need to be clear. You need to be passionate about the clarity of what it means to be a member
Because a lot of times in a declining church, they believe the church is there to serve them and meet their needs. Yep. And you have to make it clear in membership that you are here to be a missionary and to serve other people. Mm. So membership covenants are always part of a church revitalization. And we've said before, you don't show up on Sunday and say, okay, the 40 of you who've been members here for 30 years, you got to sign this covenant or you're no longer a member, because they'll fire you.
Yep.
But you can say, hey, from this point forward, everyone who joins, we have a membership covenant that explains what the responsibility of the pastors are to you and the responsibility you have to this church, so people know what our mission is, what our long-term plan is, and how we're going to work
for
it.
That's right.
Number four, and finally, Mark.
Yep, the fourth one, and this is so huge. They fail to focus on corporate prayer. And can I say something about this?
Go for it.
This is where I believe one of the first things you need to do is to either establish or reestablish a prayer meeting. And yeah, I said that, an old school prayer meeting. I used to think, man, well, we're praying in small groups and Sunday school class. And I'd say, yeah, that's good. But there is something about saying every week, you know, for us at Calvary, it's half an hour, it's 11:30 to 12 o'clock every Wednesday. We're in that sanctuary. Everybody's invited. I lead it. We're going to be seeking the Lord. We're going to say, Lord, we need you. We need you every hour. We're nothing apart from you. God, do not let us think for a moment that we've got this thing figured out. We're desperate. God, we pray for our missionaries. We pray for this community together as a church. Listen, you've got to lead that, pastor, and corporate prayer. Don't expect God. Just, you can't. It's not how he works. It's not how the kingdom works.
Right.
Why would you expect God to bring life to this church and bring lost people to this church if you're not begging him to do it?
And as Blackaby says, what about the way we pray or we lead corporate prayer makes anybody say, I think that's the most important thing in the world?
Mm.
Oftentimes in church, looks like a ritual.
Yep.
And the way we pray has no real power or influence. It's just sort of the same words we say over and over.
Yeah.
And how much time do we even spend in prayer on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Many of us spend more time in announcements than in corporate prayer.
Mm.
And so it's got to be a focus. Without prayer, nothing's going to change.
No.
We've said that in almost every podcast we've done related to church revitalization.
Because this is supernatural work.
And it is the work of prayer. And you have to do the work of prayer.
Yep.
Have to lead your people in the work of prayer. And I'll say one more thing. Most dying churches do have a prayer meeting. And most of the time they do put a list of sick and afflicted and homebound and those kinds of things. And that's fine. But spend some time in your prayer meeting praying for one another, praying for yourself to be bold in your witness
for Christ. There you go.
When Paul was writing his letters from Rome, He didn't say, I want you to pray for my guard, Gaius, and his family.
Mm.
He said, I want you to pray for me that I'll be bold and clear in my testimony of Jesus to those around me.
Wow.
So it's one thing to pray for your community. It's another thing to have a culture of praying for ourselves that we will be bold in our witness community. So here we go.
That's
four
good
ways pastors can hinder revitalization. Spend too much time paying attention and responding to your nagging critics. Failing to be an example of being a missionary and having outward focus. Not emphasizing what it means to be a church member and what's expected of you and what the mission of the church is, and then failing to lead in corporate prayer appropriately. Those are things you have to deal with before you can begin to think about church revitalization.
Mm.
Okay, the next podcast, you don't want to miss this one. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. You know, the next podcast, we're going to do, what was it?
We're going to talk about what not to do.
What not to do.
Some of the things that we've learned over the years,
What
not to do. And there's some of them are really simple, basic
things. In church revitalization.
You don't want to miss it.
And most of you have done these. This is where we got them from.
That's exactly
right. We looked at your lives. No, not really. We looked at our lives. We did.
That's the truth.
What not to do. But one of the things you must do is subscribe to this podcast. All right. We'll see you next week on What Not to Do.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.